Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we uplift your soul and mind and spirit by teaching of God's Word.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Uplifting Moments, where we're looking at how God can bless your heart, mind, soul, and spirit through understanding God's Word, the Bible, and God's Son, Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your revelation that comes to us. And Lord, teach us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever thought, what's different about the great Christian leaders like the apostles and prophets of old? What makes them different in the way they see the world from the way we see the world and the way we understand it? And we're going to answer that question from my book, Biblical EQ, which you can get at biblicaleq.com. And on page 45, we'll learn about the emotional life of the apostles, prophets, and great Christian teachers. You know, your emotions are really important in the way you live your Christian life. God gives emotions to people, but we also have to regulate our emotions. They're part of our created being, and they're a really important part of how we view life. Whether we love righteousness and hate wickedness, whether we love the things of the Lord or despise the things of the Lord, these make all the difference in your life and my life. And so let's have a look at the emotions, the thoughts, and the mode of being of these great apostles and prophets and Christian leaders of old and see some of the things that make them distinguished and how we can grow ourselves and become far more mature as Christians. Well, there's 12 things here, and I hope we can get through all of them. Number one, they perceived the world differently. They had a different outlook on life to you and I. They saw the world from a kingdom perspective, not just from a worldly perspective. They thought of God's kingdom and God's righteousness first of all. And they had an ability to perceive into the hearts of men and women. This ability to perceive people's minds, thoughts, and emotions, just like Jesus had, or just like the Apostle Peter had, this ability to look into people and say, as Peter did to Simon Magus, you're in the bondage of iniquity. So he could see what's happening because the Holy Spirit gave Peter spiritual perception. And when we're walking with God, we'll have spiritual perception as well. And also, the men and women of God were able to understand spiritual things in spiritual ways. They were able to understand the scriptures and dreams and visions and revelations. They heard from God and they understood what they heard. They were able to understand God's communication clearly, wisely, and well. And this is part of the way they lived because their spiritual perception, the way they looked at the universe, had been renewed by knowledge of God. They were not thinking like you and I think. They were seeing the world from a godly point of view instead of a materialistic point of view. Now, the next thing about them is their beliefs. They have beliefs that are different from the world around them. We see that in John the Baptist. He went out and lived in the desert on locusts and wild honey and came and saying, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. He did not just get into the right rat race and the hustle of life. He saw things differently. He had beliefs that only God could have given him. And we find this about the Apostle Peter, when Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. When Peter was able to say that he's the Messiah, the Son of God. So Peter knew things that had been given to him by God. And we will have beliefs that come from God when we walk closely with God. Next thing, those beliefs should give them, the leaders, a sense of what is righteous and what is unrighteous, like Jesus had when he cleansed the temple. The right beliefs in the right person at the right time produces an unusual zeal to do the will of God. God imparts to this person all that. They said, this person has a zeal for Bible teaching. That person has a zeal for evangelism. That person has a zeal for helping orphans, and that has given to them by God. They have a new perspective, a new idea of what is righteous and unrighteous. They get upset over the injustice in the world because God is stirring them up, because God's giving them a new belief system that is not a compromised belief system, but is a heavenly belief system. And then those beliefs should give them strength and power, just like Jesus did in the middle of the storm, or just like Paul did when he was on the boat getting tossed around in the Mediterranean Sea. They're able to be calm in the middle of a crisis. And like Paul and Silas did in the jail in Philippi, they were singing hymns and praising God at midnight in the jail. Why? Because they saw the world differently. They had a spiritual belief system, not just an earthly belief system centered around their own comfort. They weren't too worried about their comfort. They were in a very terrible place in the inner jail with their feet in the stocks and their hands manacled, and yet they were praising God because God had changed the way they felt and had changed the way they believed. So they weren't all in a panic, even though they'd been unjustly beaten and unjustly thrown in jail. Okay, as a result of these new beliefs, good Christian leaders and apostles and prophets of old have a belief system that resonates and attracts others of great faith. They naturally draw people to them who are people of faith. They're not surrounded by con artists. They're not surrounded by flaky people. They're surrounded by other people who want to be discipled, who want to follow Jesus, who want to go out to the mission field. And they have a different belief system, a different emotional system. And that emotional system draws in people, just like it did draw in Peter, James, John, Andrew, Simon, all those disciples. They were magnetized by the spiritual presence of Jesus. And it's Paul and people that followed with him and around the place. So as you grow in God, you will attract people that also want to grow in God. The next thing about the apostles and prophets is they have different emotions. They have deep and vivid emotions. They don't have emotions that are shallow, trivial, and sentimental. They have emotions that are full of the greatness and glory of God and of heaven. Did you know that heaven's quite emotional? People are rejoicing there all the time, praising there all the time, full of the glory of God there all the time. You find the great Christian leaders like Moses and David are full of emotion, but they're full of godly emotion, not ungodly emotion. They're not throwing temper tantrums. They are people who are glorifying God, worshiping God, singing songs to God, and we find that their emotions are great, deep, and powerful. And also, with their emotions, they should have a sense of their emotions being God's emotions. They know that they are grieving because God grieves, just as Jesus wept over Jerusalem. They should be able to name and their feelings and say, this is what I'm feeling, and I'm feeling this because God's feeling this. Just as Jesus was angry when he looked at the temple and saw all the trading and stuff that's going on, all the wickedness, and he started to cleanse the temple, he was angry with God's anger. His emotions were God's anger, and he was expressing the righteous emotions of God Almighty. And you see the prophets who are railing against injustice and slavery and the wicked things that were done in their day and saying, woe unto this and woe unto that. They're speaking words from God with emotions that are from God. And God can set your emotions right. You don't have to be neutral. You don't have to be bland. You don't have to be just nicety nice. You can have the powerful emotions that come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when someone's a great man or woman of God, it will change their physical nature, just as it says in Romans 8, verse 11, that the Holy Spirit will renew our mortal bodies. He will give life to our mortal bodies. So when people are great Christian leaders, they have their bodies under control. They are not swayed this way and that by drugs, by alcohol, by smoking, by physical habits that are bad for them. They have control over their body because the Holy Spirit is taking residence in their body. Their body has become a temple of the Spirit, is being purified by the Spirit. And God gives these people a new physical nature. And this was evident in the face of Moses, which would shine brightly after he had talked with God. And so We find that Moses came into the presence of God and was physically altered by the presence of God. We find people like Caleb, who was 80 years old and still strong and able to fight and to take a mountain for God. We find people like David dancing and rejoicing and giving physical expression to the emotions of God. So we know that God takes hold of our mortal bodies and shapes them for his purpose and gives us a body to do God's will. And it's said about that in the book of Hebrews. It says, I have made a body for Jesus to do the will of God. Next, we find in the area of emotional expression, the righteous emotions that are given to apostles, prophets, and Christian leaders. These righteous emotions lead to righteous actions. They are moved with compassion. We find that 11 times in the Gospels, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. He just didn't feel bad. He did something. He went out and healed the sick and delivered the demon-possessed and did this or that. He is moved with compassion. The emotions don't just stay within him. They are emotions that lead to action. So the emotions of a Christian leader prompt that Christian leader to do something, such as organize missions, organize a crusade, help the poor and needy. The emotions move them to action. They're not sterile. They're not cold. They're people who are moved by godly emotion to do godly things. And so over the course of their lives, and we see this particularly with Paul and with David and with others, the course of their lives should demonstrate an ever-increasing wisdom in emotional expression, as if they're being taught by God how to say things. And we see in the life of the Apostle Paul, as he went through life, he became much more tactful, much wiser. There's a big difference between his early writings, such as Galatians, and his later writings, such as 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Philemon. In Philemon, he is very, very tactful as he's writing to Philemon about the escaped slave Onesimus. So we find that God makes us wise in our words. And sometimes that takes a long time, and people take a long while to get their words right. But God is moving in you. And the Christian leaders were different people. They were different in their perception. They were different in their beliefs about life. They're different in their emotions. They're different in their renewed physical nature. And they're different in their way they express their emotions in words. And you need to expect God to change you. You need to say, Lord, I want you to make me like the great Christians, like the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists of old. And you need to ask God, change me into your image. If you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, then you're a son or daughter of the Most High God. And you are to grow up in all ways unto him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ. You're to grow up in your perception. You're to grow up in your beliefs. You're to grow up in your emotions. You're to grow up in your physical nature. And you're to grow up in your social skills and the way you express your emotions to the world. And that's today's teaching from my book, Biblical EQ by John Edmiston. You can find it at biblicaleq.com. God bless you all, and this is John Edmiston signing off from Uplifting Moments.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. Please visit his website, eternityradio.org, where you can send in your prayer requests and support this worldwide Bible teaching radio ministry. Remember, eternityradio.org.